Welcome. You may have a seat.
Ties in. Another way to give is through e-transfers with the church's email address,
MorrinvilleLions@shaw.ca. Our children's nursery, infant to 3 years old, and ARC Sunday School, age 4 to grade 5, will be dismissed after the sing time. This next Wednesday, April 16th, at 2 p.m., we'll be having Gloria Hemrick's funeral service. There's a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center for those who can bring sandwiches, squares, cookies for desserts. Saturday, May 3rd at 10 a.m., we'll be having our annual church cleanup. Please come out and help us keep the building and the grounds in good shape. We'll be having a joint service with the Father's House Good Friday. That's this next Friday, April 18th at 10:30 a.m., and they're hosting. As well as you want prayer today, somebody will be in the back corner to pray with you. That's all our announcements.
Please stand with us and we'll just carry on.
Thank you. This is my
Yes, and we thank you, God, that you are the way maker, that you are the light in the darkness. Thank you so much for this time, this place, this space, and this group of people. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Before you sit down, you're free to greet each other, and kids, you have Sunday school.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This morning is Palm Sunday, in case you didn't know that. So I'm incredibly grateful that I get to be the one to lead us in prayer on Palm Sunday. This is a very exciting time before we go into Holy Week. So I'll begin with a little bit of an illustration that we came up with in our Gospel of John class, and it might be helpful for this Sunday, for the prayer time, for the sermon, and so on. So our illustration from class goes a little bit like this. The governor of Judea, Pilate, would have likely lived in Caesarea, a coastal Roman town that had been built with a hippodrome, a Colosseum type thing, and a few other things. But as Passover approaches, hundreds of thousands of Jews would have returned to Jerusalem in preparation for the festival. And so Pilate, being the governor of Judea, would have made the trip himself as well from Caesarea. And it's quite likely that he would have been riding a very extravagant, glorious war horse and leading legions with him to prevent insurrection at Passover. And so he would have made this trip and marched in through the gates of Jerusalem in all his glory and splendor, stamped with the mark of the legions on his armor and all his soldiers with him. But on the other side of Jerusalem, at the eastern gate, there would have been a young man riding on a donkey with a ragtag group of fishermen, prostitutes, and so on trailing behind him. And just that juxtaposition, I think, properly illustrates who we are, the kind of people we are, and what this kingdom looks like. But we always have to remember that the crowds who met Jesus cheering Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, only days later, they altered their chants to crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. They were somehow swayed by the glory of the war horse, the legions, their religious leaders, from their love for the one who came in the name of the Lord. These are two very different kingdoms. And so as you go about your day and as you prepare for Easter, perhaps contemplate the difference in these two kingdoms. So with that not so brief illustration, we'll begin this morning. I'll be using Psalm 118, which is the psalm that the four Gospels use for Palm Sunday. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Verses 19 and 21. The psalmist directs us to adoration as he subtly moves between our voice and the voice of Christ. The psalmist directs us to imaginatively envision a procession of worship who, in adoration of God's mighty acts, give thanks for bringing life out of death. Verses 19 through 21. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me. Verses 22 and 23. With these two verses, we are brought to confession. But how? The rejection of Christ is at the forefront of these two verses. Verses 22 and 23. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, be merciful to us sinners. Had we been there, like the good democratic citizens we are, we would have shouted Hosanna with the crowds, only to shout crucify days later with the crowds. Be merciful to us and strengthen us by your Spirit to boldly follow you despite the voices of the crowds. Verses 24 to 27. The psalmist speaks in a seemingly obscure way in these verses, but the life and death of Jesus of Nazareth fill out and explain these verses of thanksgiving, drawing them out of their obscurity. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. Verses 28 and 29. Supplication is subtly woven into verses 28 and 29. By declaring that the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever, The psalmist expectantly knows and calls upon that love and faithfulness to be the defining feature of the life of the people of God. This morning, we also call upon the steadfast love and faithfulness of the Lord. Verses 28 and 29. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Almighty and everlasting God, in your tender love for us, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our nature and to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may walk in the way of his suffering and come to share in his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And this morning in particular, Lord, we lift up Jerry and family, Lou and Harold, the Cornell family, Judith and Danny, Matthew and Rena and their family, Michael and Tavia and their family, the Green family, Isaac and Corrine, Monique and Wilfred, Angel, Faith, Terry and John. Lord, be merciful to us. As a community of Jesus followers, growing in the virtues of faith, hope, and love, let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all. We will now have this morning's scripture reading.
This morning's reading comes from Revelations 7, 9 to 17. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe, and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God, who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings. And they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God. They sang, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the 24 elders asked me, "Who are these who are clothed in white? Where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, "These are the ones who died in a great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. That is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes."
Thank you.
stars burn down and the earth wears out, and we stand before the throne with the witnesses who have gone before. We will rise and all applaud, singing blessing and honor and glory and power for will come.